Open your Bible to Galatians chapter 5, please. Galatians chapter 5, verse 7. We're in charge of stand up, take a stretch. I'm going to read this verse. Galatians chapter 5, and verse 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we pray tonight that you would speak to our hearts. Lord, we do love you, but Lord, we want to finish this race. Lord, we don't want to be said of us that we did run well. We want to finish the race. Want to run well. Teach us tonight, Lord, what you would have us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, when I was in junior high, I wanted to play sports, but for some reason I never thought I could do anything. I tried out for the track team one year, and I wanted to run the mile. So track tryouts came up, and they sent us out on the football field and said, okay, this is it. This is track tryouts. 100-yard dash. I took off. I could run a 100-yard dash in about 15 seconds or so. I didn't make the track team. You know what? I didn't want to run a 100-yard dash. That wasn't my ability. I couldn't run fast. I wanted to run the mile. And then the mile is not so much how you start the race. It's how you finish the race. It's not so much starting out the first 100 yards in 4 seconds. It's starting out and pacing yourself and gritting your teeth and going all the way to the end. Well, the coach didn't understand my philosophy. I didn't make the team. But one day I was out there. I was made manager. I was made just the babysitter, you know, for all the kids. I had to take care of everything. One day we're out there at practice, and we had two guys on the team that ran a mile, and they were slow as molasses in Germany, in Poland. The coach got so mad, he says, "Wes, can you run that mile faster than those guys?" I said, "I sure can." "Well, you give it a try. If you do, you beat them, you're on the team." So I took off, blue jeans and all. I beat those guys. Because it's not so much how you start the race, it's how you finish the race. Come down to the end of the race that we call life, the same thing. It's not so much how you start the race, it's how you finish it. What place you're in. I won't tell you that the next track meet I went to, the first one I went to, I came in next to last, but I finished the race anyway, right? The whole idea is there are people all over this world, born-again Christians, that this can be said of tonight. He did run well. Oh, that's a terrible thing to have said about you, isn't it? I don't want to get down to the end of my life and God say, "Oh, Joe, you ran well. You did run well. Oh, the first 50 yards was great. The first 200 yards was great. But, oh, the last part, what a shame." I was thinking about this a while ago, you know, and thinking about how many times in the Bible people started out well and didn't finish. They had a ruined life at the end. And of course, the one that comes to mind maybe to all of us is Demas. He forsook Paul because he loved this present world. But there are other three things I want to mention besides Demas loving the world. Three things I'd like to just share tonight. Three things that we can fall into. And at the end, it will be said of us that you did run. You started off good, but you didn't finish right. I think about Samson. Samson, the mighty strong man. I mean, this guy, he could do things the guys on TV today still can't do, you know, even with all the props. Samson was a mighty man. You know what Samson's problem was? His pride. Samson got to the point in his life where he said, "You know, I'm something else, you know. God really needs me. I'm really strong. God really needs me." He lightly esteemed what God has given him. He forgot that his strength came from the Lord. He forgot that he himself was nothing. He lightly esteemed it. He was so proud of his accomplishments that he had the idea, I believe, he had the idea that nobody else could do what he could do. And that's a problem we can fall into, isn't it? Isn't it possible that we, as missionaries, we as preachers, we as evangelists, we as door knockers, we as whatever our ministry may be, get to the point and think, "Well, good thing I'm here. Good thing I'm here, because it wouldn't be done if it wasn't for me." Oh, be careful. You'll find out. You'll find out how little God really needs you. Oh, God can use you. Oh, and I hope He does. And I hope He uses me throughout my whole life. But God doesn't really need me. I mean, He does not need this 5'3" and 7/8 inch guy. God can use somebody else. And woe be to me if I become so proud of my thinking that I'm just so indispensable. No, we're not indispensable. God can use somebody else. You read Samson's life and you'll find out what a tragedy. He didn't humble himself and recognize that what he had was from God, by God's grace, by God's mercy. Oh, I was speaking this week and in the morning meetings about the truth that in this spiritual fight, there is nobody safe from the attack of the devil. I don't care who you are. I don't care how well you know your Bible. I don't care how many years you've been in church. I don't care what kind of ministry. Bible say about pride goeth before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Pride in our lives, pride in your life can get you down to the end of it, and God will say, oh, you did run away. What a shame. I gave you something. You could have made it. You could have made it all the way to the end, but you got proud. You got proud of it. Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You think you're standing? Oh, I'm glad. I hope you are. I'm glad you're standing tonight. But just remember why you're standing. Remember why you're standing. It is not of yourself. Oh, you have ministry tonight? Praise God. You got a ministry. You won souls to the Lord? Praise the Lord. You've won souls. That's fantastic. There's nothing great in this world than winning a lost soul to Jesus Christ. But be careful. God can use somebody else. You fall out of the line, you'll fill right back up. God will find somebody else just like that. You won't be missed very long. God can find somebody else. How many people that we know of, even in this church, that have come and said, wow, this is it, you know, this is it. And get proud of what they've done and proud of this place. And they say, even say, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to get out of this place. I'm not going to ever leave. And man alive. When they say that, they're out of here. Don't think you can't fall. Don't think you can't be tempted. Don't think that something in this world can't get you down, because the devil will find that one thing. He'll find that Delilah. He'll find that whatever it may be, and he'll come to you. And if you are proud, if you are like Samson and lightly esteeming what you've got, before you know it, you say, oh, it's all right. I will go out like it other times. And what will happen? You can't get out. And you're stuck and you've lost it because you're so proud. I think about Elijah. Look in 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19. We all know the story of Elijah, I hope. Elijah just did another fantastic thing. I mean, who else do you know of that would make an altar and pour 12 barrels of water on it and pour it on there and say, okay, Lord, you answer. Let's see who is the true God. Wham! Fire comes out of heaven and it licks up the bullock, it burns up the wood, and it licked up the water and the stones. Everything was gone. And then he takes all those prophets of Baal and he takes them and he just slaughters every single one of those false prophets of Baal. Almighty things Elijah did. You know what Elijah's problem was? Start feeling sorry for himself. Look in verse 4. Felt sorry for himself because Jezebel, this wicked old woman, she said, you're going to get it. You're going to die now. Now you've pushed me too far. Verse 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. He requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough now. O Lord, take away my life. I am not better than my father. True words never spoken. You're not better than your father. What do you expect? You're just the prophet. You're just the man and God blessed. But you know, Elijah started feeling sorry for himself. He thought that he deserved better. I mean, obviously, he must have thought that he should have gotten some kind of a reward for this, right? I mean, I've done something for God, and look what's happened. I'm gonna lose my life just like that. What's going on? That's not how it was supposed to work. That's not how I was taught, right? I mean, you lead people to Christ, it'll be great. The whole town will thank you for changing the whole town. And everyone will thank you. The town went dry and everything's great and dandy. No, it's not going to be that way. You're going to suffer a little bit of slander. You're going to suffer a little bit of persecution. You know why? You're not better than your father. You're not better than Jesus. He said, if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. What more do you expect? Don't feel sorry for yourself thinking that now that you're here, that you've done something great and tremendous, that You should be free from any kind of problems. You ever thought this? Well, nobody appreciates what I do. I'm just gonna quit. I've worked so hard this week, I vacuumed this whole floor, and people came in, nobody said that I had done a good job vacuuming the floor. Nobody told me how good I preached this morning. Nobody told me that I was a great man of God. Not feeling sorry for yourself? Think you deserve some sort of appreciation? You know what you deserve? You know what I deserve? We don't deserve nothing. Not good, nothing good. We deserve the pits of hell. That's all we deserve. We deserve being the bonds that the Apostle Paul was in. We deserve those tears. We deserve all those things. There's nothing that we can say that we don't deserve this kind of treatment. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Think you don't deserve something. You know what Elijah said? God came to him and said, "What are you doing here?" And he says, "I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts. The children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, and slain thy prophets with the sword and eye. Even I only, I'm all alone, is seeking my life to take it away. I'm all by myself." You ever felt sorry for yourself that way? I was supposed to go preaching and then didn't show up and I was all alone. Oh, I know, it's not easy, but don't feel sorry for yourself, man. Get out there and preach.
Amen.
Your knees may not. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Don't get all teary-eyed and thinking that you've been dealt with unjustly like nobody else has. You know what I found? We're not alone. You're not alone. People are praying for you. People are supporting you. And even if you are alone, so what? God didn't tell you to go preach as long as everybody else did he? Or if he did, and wasn't God speaking to you? Look in John 21. 21, 21. Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, "Lord, and what shall this man do? Lord, what about him? He ain't doing nothing. Lord, I mean, she hasn't cooked any meals this week. I did it twice this week." You ever felt that way? "Lord, I had to sign up for nursery 2 times this week, and she hasn't ever done it." Feeling sorry for yourself? Elijah felt sorry for himself. So did Peter. He said, "Peter, you're going to die." "Okay, Lord, but what about John? Are we going to die together?" And what did Jesus answer him? I'm going to close my book. Jesus said, "If I will, he tarry till I come." What is that to be?
Amen.
"Follow thou me."
Amen.
If I want that sister to do this thing and I want you to do the other, you just put up with it. Just do it.
Amen.
"Follow thou me."
Amen.
Don't feel sorry for yourself that somebody isn't doing something you think they should do. Don't feel sorry for yourself thinking that you're all by yourself and nobody will help you, nobody will do it with you, nobody will go with you wherever you want to go. Just do what God tells you to do.
Amen.
And quit feeling sorry for yourself. Because if you don't, I tell you what will happen. The big bee monster will come and get you. And that bee monster is, I should say the bee cancer, bitterness in your heart. Oh, you start getting bitter against that sister because every time you think she ought to do it, she doesn't do it. And every time you see her, all you think about is she wouldn't do this. You see that brother, and all you think about that brother. You don't think about how he blessed you that time that last week or last month. You don't think about the time he prayed for you and cried with you. All you think about is he let me down. He didn't do what I was thinking he was supposed to do. You get all bitter in your heart, and from then on, you'll be useless. You can't do anything. You can't even think straight. Every time you see this person or see that those people, you can't think anything good. You just get all bitter. That root of bitterness get in you. Boy, and then everybody gets defiled by it. Think about Jonah. You know what I think Jonah's problem was? Yeah, he disobeyed. I think Jonah disobeyed because he wasn't satisfied with where God told him to go. He didn't want to go to Nineveh. He didn't want to do what God said. He may have had other plans. He may want to go to some other city. I don't know. But he didn't go to Nineveh when God told him to. He'll go and cry against that city. Cry against these people. "The wickedness has come up before me." And Jonah went the other way. "No, because you'll probably save them people. You'll probably convert these wicked people. How about we go over here to these people? They're more noble people. They're better people. They're more like us. They're fair skinned, or they speak English, or whatever. He was dissatisfied with what God told him to do. You ever been there? And that's one of the problems that kids have. When they're very young, they have these ideals of what they want to be, who they want to be like, and I've seen a lot of kids, maybe most kids, I don't really know, I haven't really studied it out very well, but a lot of kids are never satisfied with who they are. They want to cut their hair this way, want to cut their hair that way, want to wear this, wear that, they want to put an earring here, they want to do all kinds of things because they're not satisfied, and usually a lot of times it's girls. They have straight hair, they want to have kinky hair, they have kinky hair, they want to have straight hair. I mean, they never have brown hair, they want to have blonde hair. They're never satisfied with what they are, who they are, what they've got. It's always, well, I wish I could have had that. I wish I could have had this. And all their life regretting what they are, regretting how God made them. God made me short, and I learned a long time ago, that's great, I don't even care. I really don't. I don't care what Brent says about me. I am honestly satisfied with how God made me. Now, I've been dissatisfied in other areas, I'll grant you that, but what I'm trying to say is don't spend your whole life lamenting that God didn't tell you a certain thing, didn't give you a certain gift, didn't send you to a certain place. Whatever God gave you to do, just do it. Amen. Right, Brent?
Amen.
Just do what God gave you to do. But God, I want to be a great orator. Well, so you're not an orator. So what? Go door knocking and people will be more patient with you maybe, and you can just figure it out as you go. So you can't stand up and teach in a real effective way. Well, you can get down on your knees and you can pray for other people.
Amen.
Paul said over in Colossians chapter 4, verse 17, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which thou hast received in the Lord that thou fulfill it.
Amen.
What did he say to do? Pray that God give you what he gave me. Don't do a thing until God gives you what he gave me. He said, look, God gave you ministry. Take heed to it. Fulfill it. Just do what God gave you. Whatever ability he gave you to do, use that ability for the glory of God. Don't spend your whole life wishing you could have done something else and not doing what you've got. God, I want him to stay here and just grow and be pampered and babied and fed all my life. I don't want to go to Mexico. I don't want to go to Poland. I don't want to go across town. I don't want to go to I want to do this. God says, go over there. God says, go over here. Do this. Don't be dissatisfied what God tells you to do. Just do what God tells you. And by the same token, look in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, verse 18. This is the story of the man called Legion, whom Jesus cast out the demon. It says, verse 18, when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Oh, but I want to go with you, Jesus. I want to be in the boat with you. I want to be fed by you. I want to just be with you all the time for the rest of your ministry. No, he didn't say that. He departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. You know what this man was? He was a satisfied man. He gave the Lord's request, and the Lord said, No, you're not going to go with me. I want you to go back over there because I have people over there that I want you to reach. I want you to stay here in your home. And so we realize we must face the fact that not only does God want people to go, and God does want people to go, not only does God want people to give up their what they've got and go across the border or across the sea or across town or wherever he sends you to go, God also says, I want some just to do at home what I tell them to do. The whole point is, are we satisfied with the ministry God gave us? Are we satisfied in the place that God has put us? Are we satisfied with the gift that God has given us? You covet a better gift, covet it, but if you don't got it, use the one you've got. And don't just sit on your tail the rest of your life saying, I want to go over there, but God won't let me go, so I'm going to sit and do nothing. Don't be dissatisfied. Take heed to the ministry thou hast received from the Lord and fulfill it. It's so simple. God gave us something. God gave each and every one of us something we can do. Just fulfill it. Amen.